You're listening to WWBC 1510 AM 94.7 FM, the Christian voice of Brevard.
The Apostle Peter once asked Jesus at a moment of confusion, "Lord, who else could we go to but you?" You know, we feel the same way when evil invades our world and someone we love is hurt. As a follower of Jesus, we don't know where else to turn but to Him, and we know of no better place to bring our questions and our grief. And the Lord hears our every cry. In this study on Through the Bible, we face the question of what God will ultimately do about evil in the world. I'm Steve Schwetz, inviting you to hop aboard the Bible bus as we journey to Ezekiel 38 to 40. Now, as you find your seat and get comfortable, here are a few quick letters from our fellow travelers. First is an email from Jack in the United States. "This is my third trip on the Bible bus as an adult," Jack says. "But I remember when my mom would play Dr. McGee's teaching during my nap time as a child. Each study through the scripture is sweeter and more meaningful. It's incredible that God has provided His very word to read, study, and share. I love going through the books of the prophets, especially in these days. We are a day closer to Christ's return than we were yesterday. Praise God, and thank you for your hospitality and care for all of us aboard and for giving us new ways to invite more passengers. I love to listen on the app. My parents and I listen together. I'm looking forward to that day when we will meet our Lord in the air." Well, thanks, Jack. It's a pleasure to have you and your family with us on the Bible bus. And then here's a letter. This is from a friend aboard from the Lingala Bible bus. "I started listening to you and my spiritual life has changed. I am now able to lead a Bible study group. A taste for reading God's Word has settled in me because these programs are presented and prepared by professionals with no religious bias. Thank you for your teaching." Our last note comes from Ukraine, this friend writes. "When I came home from the war, I started teaching again, but I felt this heaviness. I didn't want to talk with anyone. It's like I was carrying the weight of the world. You told me there was only one thing that could fill the emptiness in my soul, that I could become God's son, that Jesus had died for me, and I just needed to put my faith in Him. A long time ago, I really wanted to find God, so I visited a local church, but the priest and other parishioners were so cold to me, I left and never went back. But now, you woke up that desire for God in me again. Hearing you read the Bible really moved me. I never felt anything like that before. I'm planning on listening to all your programs, and I want to read the Bible for myself. I'll start in the Proverbs, like you were reading. Thank you for waking me up and sharing your love of the Bible with me." Well, to join us as we pray for listeners like these and millions of others, sign up today at ttb.org/pray or call us at 1-800-65-BIBLE to find out more. And let's do that now. Heavenly Father, thank you that we can trust you as the ultimate answer to our questions. And Lord, as we study your word, help us to surrender every detail in our lives and in this world into your hands. In Jesus' name, amen. We're off to Ezekiel 38 on Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Now, friends, we have come to the last major division in the prophecy of Ezekiel. And there is something here that I trust you have discovered that is important, that we've seen in both Isaiah, Jeremiah, and now in Ezekiel, that these books are not written in a haphazard sort of way, that they are not thrown together in any fashion, but that there is definitely a plan and purpose in each one of the books. And we've had that now in Ezekiel. We have, first of all, Ezekiel out yonder among those captives by the canals that came off of the Euphrates River in the land of Babylon. And the false prophets have encouraged them to believe that since Jerusalem had not been destroyed when Nebuchadnezzar came against it two times, that it would never be destroyed. God would not permit it. That's the way they were interpreting prophecy, you see, and they were entirely wrong. Ezekiel, again and again, prophesying that God is going to permit Nebuchadnezzar to destroy this city. It's a bloody city, a wicked city, a sinful city, but it's God's city, and it will be destroyed. And it was. Now, the moment that city was destroyed, even before word came, Ezekiel had no further word to say about that subject. He begins immediately to have something for the people, to encourage them when the sad news would come. And never is any prophet as bright as Ezekiel is. He looks down into the future of a coming kingdom when the glory of the Lord will appear again on the earth. Now, in chapters 38 and 39, we saw another enemy when they're back in that land, and I believe it'll be a false peace, that they'll go back there under Antichrist, and Antichrist will make them believe that peace has now come to the earth and that all of the problems of the earth are settled and they're entering the millennium. But that's not true, because in the midst of the Great Tribulation period, that is the seven-year period, why, there comes down out of the north an enemy, and Ezekiel talks about him here in 38 and 39. But you see, these people, though they've turned to the Antichrist, there's a great company of them witnessing for God, 144,000. And since they're dwelling in peace, God will deal with this enemy, because there's no one else apparently to deal with him, because Antichrist has deceived them. And then war breaks out. And then the Great Tribulation begins with all of its frenzied fury. Actually, this is a time when the earth becomes a holocaust. Judgments, one after another, come upon the earth. Wars, right on down for that brief period. And the Lord Jesus said, except those days were shortened, no flesh would survive. Now, let me put it very bluntly and very briefly. All hell will break loose on the earth during that period. It's a frightful, terrible period. And I just don't quite understand these folk that are saying that God's redeemed, the church, will go through this period when everything makes it clear that they'll not go through it at all, and that those witnessing on the earth are the 144,000 of Israel. And this book of Ezekiel makes it very clear. He's only talking about nations of the world and the nation Israel. Now, God having dealt in judgment with this enemy that has come down into the land, and he brought them down, and now he judges them, then we find the rest of that period, Antichrist becomes the world ruler. And then the Lord Jesus Christ comes to the earth to establish his kingdom here upon the earth. And you have that picture in the 19th chapter of the book of Revelation. And then the 20th chapter of the kingdom, the 1,000 years, begins. Now in the 40th chapter here, the 1,000 years begins. And you have here something that I think is very important. Ezekiel gives us a description of the millennial temple. And that is chapters 40 and 42. And then chapters 43 and 46, he speaks of the temple worship. And then in chapters 47 to 48, the vision concerning the Lamb and the land of Israel. Now, before we get into that, I'd like very much to conclude this judgment section of Ezekiel. Now, I'm going to do something I very seldom do on this program, is to read something to you. I have jotted down here some notes that I want to follow. Now, ordinarily, I teach in an extemporaneous manner, as many of you have discovered. That's been our method. We feel like it's the best. I guess I started off wrong. I preach from notes, but taught without notes in an extemporaneous way. That has it backwards, they tell me, but that's the way I felt led to do it. And the reason I use notes for preaching was because we were on radio and I only had a certain amount of time and I had to say it in a hurry, so I needed the notes before me. Now, I'm not writing this in any manner or means in flowering verbiage. I'm not using clever cliches, and I'm not attempting to get pearl-sounding words. What we are attempting now is to see something that is here in these prophets. Now I'm reading. We have now examined rather carefully three of the four major prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel. Certain great principles emerge which the fourth prophet, that's Daniel, he'll confirm these great truths. Now, these great principles have an ageless application for nations of the world and for believers. And when I say believers, I'd use the term Christians, but that is assumed to mean church members. I'm speaking about those who have trusted the Lord Jesus, who believe this is the Word of God. Now, we have here God's dealings with Israel, but just a microcosm of the world in which we live. So that when we're looking here at God's dealings with Israel, and that's the interpretation, Israel here means Israel. I don't know why that there's some man, when they turn to the map in the back of their Bible and see Israel, they say, well, that's a land, that's real. But when they turn to Ezekiel and read Israel, that means the church. Now, how you can do a flip like that on the flying trapeze of theology is beyond me, but some are pretty good at doing it, by the way. Now, will you notice, these principles that we see here that God used in dealing with His own people, these principles are eternal, for they are linked to the character and the attributes of God. Now, we have stated some of them in both Isaiah and Jeremiah. And now we are prepared to draw certain conclusions from Ezekiel. And now will you follow me rather carefully? No prophet emphasizes the glory and the holiness of God more than Ezekiel. He saw the glory of God. That was that great vision at the beginning. He never got away from that. And we need to recognize that and also not get away from it. Now, his emphasis, therefore, is upon the judgment of God, as we've said. And I'm sure many of you, when we went through that section, again and again, God long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, again and again would warn them to turn to God. He would judge Jerusalem. Chapter after chapter, he said that. Now, the emphasis was upon the judgment of God. Now, when that came, then he offered them encouragement as he looked into the future. But he said, another enemy is coming. And the Lord Jesus, when he was here, wept over Jerusalem because he knew that Titus the Roman would be around in a few years and destroy the city just as Nebuchadnezzar had done and as it will be done in the future. And that's yet to come. Now, the thing that's important here is that there were things that were wrong in Jerusalem. And if that city was to enjoy the blessings of God, those things must be made right. The liars should cease lying. The thieves should cease stealing. The lawless should become law-abiding. And righteousness would prevail and should prevail in the city, and only then could they have the blessing of God when God was acknowledged and respected in the land. Now, that is true, and righteousness must prevail before an individual or any nation can experience the love, the mercy, and the goodness of God. And the very interesting thing is that Jerusalem was wrong. They were thinking wrong. They were acting wrong. They were in sin. And God was right in judging them. Now, God never blesses that which is wrong. This makes it very clear. And this is made evident when we contrast Ezekiel with Jeremiah. And I want you to notice this again because I consider this rather important. Jeremiah reveals the heart of God. God does not want to judge, as he said in Isaiah. Judgment is his strange work. He'd rather save. That's his business. He's not willing that any should perish. And he is very much involved with the human race. the great statement that you have in the Gospel of John is, the Word became flesh, and he came down here among us. And that reveals that he has a concern for us, and he loves us. Now, it broke his heart when Jerusalem was destroyed, and Jeremiah, as he stood weeping over that city, well, no wonder they thought the Lord Jesus was Jeremiah, because he too wept over the city. Now, in Ezekiel, we have something altogether different. To tell the truth, when Jerusalem was destroyed, that very time the wife of Ezekiel died, and God forbade him to mourn or to sorrow for her. He was to act like nothing had happened. Now, God was weeping over Jerusalem, but God did not mourn for them. God was not repenting of what he had done. What you have is God with tears in his eyes punished Jerusalem and destroyed the city. And he was doing that which was in keeping with his character, that which was right, and it's right because what God does is right, my friend. Paul asked, is there unrighteousness with God? Of course there's not. Whatever God does is right. And so his glory is manifested in judgment. His grace is manifested in redemption. And if he hadn't provided a redemption for us, there'd be no salvation from man whatsoever. Now, in chapters 38 and 39, we believe that that kingdom in the north is going to be Russia, and certainly is today. Now, when Russia is destroyed in the future, the question is, why will God destroy Russia? All right, let's look and find out. I'm going to read two verses. In Ezekiel, the 38th chapter, in verse 16. Now, will you listen to this? And thou shalt come up against my people of Israel, like a cloud to cover the land. It shall be in the latter days, and I will bring thee against my land, that the nations may know me, when I shall be sanctified in thee, O Gog, before their eyes. Well, what's God going to do? Going to destroy them. Well, you mean to tell me that God would do that? He sure will. And only the liberal has problem with the Lord Jesus cursing a fig tree and also of destroying a few pigs. I don't know why that a liberal, I was in a conference and there was a liberal there, and man, he just wept because Jesus destroyed those pigs. And every morning he had bacon for breakfast. And I tell you, he was like the walrus and the carpenter, just weeping because of all the sand on the seashore, but they were busy eating oysters as fast as they could. I'm not impressed by these people today that get upset with God because he judges. I have a notion God's a little upset with them. Now, let me read another verse, 39 and verses 6 and 7. I'll read two here. And I will send a fire on Magog and among those who dwell securely in the coastlands, and they shall know that I am the Lord. So will I make my holy name known in the midst of my people, Israel. And I will not let them pollute my holy name anymore, and the nation shall know that I am the Lord, the Holy One of Israel. Now, the question is, where is God today? Why doesn't he do something? Why doesn't he move today? A few years ago, a group of Christians appeared in Moscow at the American embassy, and they appealed, actually weeping, and this was shown on TV, asking that they be permitted to leave Russia, and they were being persecuted, and our country did nothing. I haven't quite understood why we interfere down in Vietnam, and why in Russia, Czechoslovakia, things are just as bad, and we fold our arms. I don't know why, when you move from east to west, things change like that. But they do, my friend. May I say to you that the Russian soldiers came and took those people away. I have waited again and again to hear the press say what happened to them, but they're not about to say what happened to them. May I say to you that the Soviet authorities were never dealt with. And that nation has been guilty of more anti-Semitism than any other nation over a period of years. And injustice is in the world. And the question today is, why does not God move? And there's no respect for God throughout the world today. They think he's just a jolly old man that shuts his eyes to the injustice in the world. My friend, I want to say this to you. Why doesn't God move? He is going to move. He'll vindicate his glory. He'll not do it in a vindictive and revengeful and petulant manner, but he's going to do that. And when he does, there will be a respect and reverence for God in this world, and that's the only thing that'll make little man bow before him. There's no respect of God today. Let me turn to two verses of Scripture here. The first one is in Romans 2:3. And here he says, "And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and thou doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God?" Well, you're not going to escape. You're not getting by with it. And man today thinks he is, but he's not. And then again in Hebrews 2:3, "How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard it?" How shall you escape if you neglect so great a salvation? Well, you can't escape. There's no answer to it at all. Now, let me use an old-fashioned square expression that just gags the liberal preachers, and unfortunately, it has the same effect on some so-called evangelicals who are attempting to make a name for themselves and sort of win over the world. They want to make the world a better place for people to go to hell in. And even some fundamentalists today are so busy trying to straighten out other fundamentalists that they have no time to deal with this subject. And here it is. My friend, hell is an awful reality. And you can interpret it as you will. It's a place where a holy God places those who are in rebellion against him, and those who sin with impunity, and those who blaspheme his holy name at will, those who live like animals in the name of freedom, but they are indulging in gross immorality. My friends, God's holy name is going to be vindicated. And how will it be vindicated? In love? Why, he's demonstrating his love today in giving his son. Those of us who name his name need to learn a lesson. We need to learn that you can't trifle with him. You can't get familiar with him. You can't live as you please and then buddy-buddy up to him. Our God is holy. And we need also to learn we can't presume upon him. We can't sin and get by with it. If you can, then God is no better than you are. My friend, I'm a creature and I'm a sinner. And I am what I am now by the grace of God. And man is but a creature. God's will prevail. Our proper position is to bow before him. And my only liberty today is in the will of God. He remembers we are dust, but I can say with Paul, I obtain mercy. My friend, if you defy him, he'll trample you under his feet, but he'll love you, and he loves you. And the day is coming when they will not offend in my holy mountain, says the Lord. He's running everything, friends, not man.
Yep, he's running everything, not us. Remind yourself of that next time something unexplainable happens. You know, I love the line in that old hymn, "This is my Father's world, and though the wrong seems off so strong, God is the ruler yet." And let me encourage you to wait on the Lord when things feel crazy or when it seems that God has lost control. Isaiah tells us that when we wait on the Lord, He renews our strength. Strength to keep going, strength to believe, strength to trust Him more. Our study of Ezekiel is quickly coming to an end. Listen to any of these messages again at ttb.org, and while you're there, find out about the many resources that you can use to dig deeper into God's Word. Or call 1-800-65-BIBLE. You can also write to Box 7100, Pasadena, California, 91109, or in Canada, Box 25325, London, Ontario, N6C, 6B1 if we can help. I'm Steve Schwetz, and I'll meet you here next time. Until then, God bless you as you walk with Him in His Word.
Jesus gave it all to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
Well, ride the Bible bus for 5 years and you'll be amazed at what God teaches you from His Word about what it means to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. It's a blessing that keeps on going. That's what we believe at Through the Bible.
Hi, fishing enthusiasts. Want to watch a local fishing show here in Brevard County in your home waters? Well, look no further. Go to YouTube Space Coast Fishing Show and watch all our shows ranging from freshwater to saltwater. You can leave a comment, hit that like and subscribe button, and we sure would appreciate it. Remember, YouTube Space Coast Fishing Show. God bless. You're listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
Church and the city, with the city in our hearts. A special sympathy to one of the sisters who her son passed away. We're so sorry. I am Minister Gloria Ross of New Life Assembly of Melbourne, Florida, and the church address is 774 North Apollo Boulevard, and that's in Melbourne, Florida. The church telephone number is 321-255-6999. Our church services are every Sunday at 11 o'clock a.m. Come and be blessed. Here's Pastor Ross.
Well, praise the Lord out there in Radio Land. We thank God for another opportunity to be in the land of the living, because he's the only one that is responsible for everything during the course of the day, even at night. And we pray that that all out there in Radio Land, that you thank God for what he's doing in your life. He woke you up this morning and allowed you to see another day. And this is why we all rejoice and say, Lord, we thank you, for this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall all rejoice and be glad in it. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. He's wonderful. He's merciful and compassionate. And I tell you, when you keep your mind on him, he'll keep you in perfect peace. Praise God. Well, today we want to look at what the Word of God says. We're going to go into 1 Peter 2 and verse 24. For starters, because we want to just talk about the healing power of Jesus and what he's done for us. He's done so much for us all, and we just need to praise him. Somebody out there in Radio Land should say, Lord, I just thank you right now for just being able to walk on my own, praise God, or even to see, because all things that he has blessed us with, praise God. We thank him for it in the precious name of Jesus. But let's look at 1 Peter 2 and verse 24, Minister Gloria, as we...
It says, who his own self bear our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed.
Well, praise God, praise God. He said that who his own self, he did it. This is where we put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. In spite of all the difficulties and the situations we are going through, we just thank God for it, for not for the situation, but we thank God in everything. Praise God. Giving him all the grace, the glory, the mercy, and everything that he has blessed us with. Well, Peter's saying here that who his own self bared our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we were healed. And I want to tell you today, if we were healed, then we are healed. And we should just keep our heart and mind on what God's word says. And I believe the report of the Lord.
Amen.
Glory to God. I believe his report. He said that by his stripes that we are healed, then we are healed. In Isaiah 53 and verse 5, the word of God is clear. And Minister Glory, would you...
But he was wounded for our transgressions.
Praise God.
He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed.
Praise God. We are healed. Isaiah looking forward to the the tunnel of time, should I say, because what's happening is that he prophesied this, that there was one that's coming that will die for our sins, and his name is Jesus. And I want to tell you out there in Radio Land that he is the only way back to the Father.
Amen.
He is the way,
right,
the truth, and the life.
That's right.
And no man cometh unto the Father but by him. And we want to thank God for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because he came into this world to deliver us from all of our sins. And he said this is an evil world, and it is an evil world. If Jesus said it, he knows exactly what it is. And Minister Gloria, we want to look at another verse of scripture there in Galatians, praise God. In Galatians here, amen. Praise God. We want to look at that in Galatians, praise God. Eh?
Galatians?
Yes, we want to look at Galatians 1 and verse 8 and 9, praise God.
Okay, it says, but though we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, to say now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you that you receive, let him be accursed.
This is why we have to preach the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and give him all the praise, because he is the way, no other way. And I want to say out here, out there in Radio Land there, that the God in whom we serve, he's merciful and compassionate. He's long-suffering. And I tell you, he loves you. He loves us all. Praise God.
Amen.
Because he died for us all. Praise God. And that's why the Bible says in 1 John 2 and verse 2 that he is, and we need to keep that in mind, that he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world.
Amen.
And we thank God for that, Minister Gloria, mm-hmm. because we can do nothing without him. We need the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
In everything that we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Praise God. Because he's wonderful.
Yeah.
He's merciful. Praise God. And he's done everything for us.
He
hung there on Calvary's cross.
Mm-hmm.
He took all of our sins, sicknesses, and disease, and he nailed it to his cross. Praise God. Isn't that wonderful?
That is wonderful.
Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell you, we need to honor him and glorify and magnify his name.
Yes.
Praise God. Keep your mind on the Lord Jesus Christ. In any kind of situation that will develop in your life, you have authority over it in the name of Jesus. And that name is above every name. No matter what the situation is, Jesus is still Lord. Praise God.
Praise God.
And that's where our faith has to be, in the Lord Jesus Christ, and not in what we feel that we are able to do, because we can do nothing apart from him.
Mm-hmm.
Amen?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Praise God. In Philippians 4 and verse 13, I want you to read that, because we can do nothing without Jesus.
Philippians 3 and 13.
Philippians 4 and verse 13.
Philippians 4 and 13.
Praise God.
For it says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthened me.
Praise God. You see, we need the Lord Jesus Christ, because he is our strength. He is our healer. He is our deliverer. He is everything. And when we put our trust in him, he will see us through. Praise God. When we thank him and praise him for everything. Praise God.
Amen.
Isn't that wonderful?
That is wonderful.
That he is able to do all things.
Mm-hmm.
Praise God. In Ephesians 3 and verse 20, Minister Gloria, mm-hmm. we want to just lift up the name of Jesus and
praise
thank
God.
Him for his healing power.
Amen.
And everything that flows through us, because that's the report that we believe. We believe the report of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise
the Lord. Unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us.
Praise God. Now unto him,
mm-hmm.
no one else only the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now unto him that is able to do exceeding and abundantly above all that we could ask or think, mm-hmm. according to the power that worketh in us.
Amen.
Well, I ask today out there in Radio Land and even here, what power is working in you? Is it the power of the Holy Spirit that's working in you, that's giving you direction and bringing forth healing in you? We must trust the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Spirit of the living God worketh in us because we believe what the Word says. And I want to tell you today that in Acts 1 and verse 8, Jesus was telling his disciples, and I strongly believe that you are one of his disciples as well.
Amen.
If you believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Mm-hmm. Minister, you want to read Acts 1 and verse 8?
Yeah, he says, but you shall receive power.
Praise God.
After that, the Holy Ghost come upon you.
Thank you, Jesus.
And you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth.
That's the power that should be working in us all.
Amen.
As children of God. Our faith must be in what Jesus said.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that you shall receive power.
Amen.
After that, the Holy Ghost come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto him in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth. I thank God today, praise the Lord, for everything that he's doing and what he has done in all of our lives as children of God. Praise the Lord.
And you know what, Pastor, Philippians 2 and 13, we must remember it's not us, for it is God which worketh in you, both to will and do of his good pleasure, not us trying to do anything. It's only about him. Amen. Praise.
Well, it is him, because he's the one that's doing everything.
Amen.
That's why our faith and trust has to be in him. Praise God. Amen. The Word of God tells us in Colossians 2, praise God,
mm-hmm.
Colossians 2,
mm-hmm.
and we want to look at the 12th and 13th verse, because we give thanks, and that's what we have to do. We have to give thanks unto our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who has done everything for us, praise God. And let's look at that verse of Scripture there. And in Radio Land, I want to tell you that we need to look at what Colossians 2 and verse 12 and 13 is saying. Praise God. Hallelujah. Minister Glory, you want to read that?
Well, it says, buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who has raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your sins and the circumcision of your flesh, has he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses.
Praise God. Isn't that wonderful?
Mm-hmm.
Glory to God. He has forgiven you all of your trespasses.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the reasons why we have situations in our lives is because we have not confessed problems that we have. And we all need to bring whatever it is to the Lord Jesus Christ and say, Lord, heal me.
Amen.
Heal me, Lord. I believe what you said in your word. Heal me, because you are able to do it.
Yes, he can.
And this is why we trust him.
Amen.
We trust the Lord, regardless of the circumstances or whatever it is that's going on in our lives. Like you said before, whose report we're going to believe? We're going to believe the report of the Lord.
That's
Amen.
Right. That's right.
And what the Lord said,
mm-hmm.
we're going to believe, because what he's done it all
mm-hmm.
on the cross of Calvary.
Mm-hmm.
His blood was shed.
That's right.
For us all. Amen. Praise God.
That's why we must give him thanks.
Yes.
Unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Excuse me. Who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood. Praise God. Even the forgiveness of sins.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Giving thanks.
Yes.
Unto the Father, who has made us partakers of the inheritance of saints in the light. We are in the light.
Amen.
When we receive the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we are in the light because we ask light to come into us. Praise God.
Amen.
And what Colossians is saying here, Treasure Colossians, he's saying here, well, give thanks unto the Father,
praise God,
who has made us able to be partakers mm-hmm. of the inheritance of the saints in light.
Eternal life.
Amen. Mm-hmm. In whom we have redemption through his blood.
Ooh, glory.
In whom he has delivered us
Amen.
From the powers of darkness
mm-hmm.
and translated us into the kingdom of his dear son.
Amen.
We are in the kingdom regardless of the circumstances.
Glory
we are
God.
Born again by the Spirit of the living God. We have power that's operating on the inside of us by the Spirit of the living God.
Amen.
Jesus did it all. I said Jesus did it all. Mm-hmm. And what he's done is that he's made it possible. In Romans 8 and verse 11, praise God,
mm-hmm.
I want to tell you today that the Spirit that raised up Jesus,
yes.
it's the same Spirit that we have in us. And Minister Gloria, you want to read that? Because the power that's operating in our lives, praise God, is the same power that raised the Lord Jesus Christ from the dead.
It says, but if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you.
Praise God. Resurrected power.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Resurrected power. This power is power that operates according to God's will. This power is not ours. It's been invested in us. Praise God.
Amen.
And I tell you, a lot of people try to say, well, they have this power. But I want to tell you, the power is not yours. Mm-hmm. It belongs to the Lord. Mm-hmm. Amen. And he anoints us and brings us into a place where we can receive this anointed power that operates in all of us as children of God. Now, in 2 Corinthians 4, and we look at what the Word of God says, and it tells us that this power belongs to God.
That's right.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
This power belongs to God, and we have to depend on him. Praise God. We don't go around boasting or bragging about, well, I have this power. This power belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. And as Minister Glory had ministered before there in Acts 1 and verse 8, it says, Jesus says that you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost come upon you.
Praise God.
So he's telling you where this power comes from. So now in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 7, Minister Glory, you want to read that?
It says, praise but God. We have this earthen
treasure
and earthen vessels that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us.
Now, that tells us where this power lies, and God has the power. Praise God. And as the scripture tells us, and we need to stay focused on it, that the treasure,
Amen.
The Holy Spirit is a treasure. Praise God. The treasure is in earthen vessels.
Yes.
And we are earthen vessels.
Yes.
Praise God. And the excellency of the power is not of us,
Amen.
But it's of God.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. So we know where this power lies and who the power belongs to. And we thank the Lord for that. Praise God. Isn't that wonderful? Because
that
we have the victory. We have the victory through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
We have victory.
You know what it says? This is in Colossians 3. And one, it says, if ye then been risen with Christ, seek those things which are above.
Amen.
Where Christ sit on the right hand of God. And it says, set your affection on things above and not things on the earth. For you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God.
Wow.
Whoa.
What mighty verse of scripture there.
Amen.
That it's not us.
No, it's not of us.
It's the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell you, everybody out there in Radio Land, if you believe and trust in what the Word of God is saying, you will be able to walk in the victory.
Praise God.
That's right. And this victory that he has given us
is from Jesus praise Christ.
God, only by the Lord Jesus
but Christ. But thanks be to God, which give us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Praise God.
Everything's about Jesus.
And we want to walk in that victory. Praise the Lord. We want to walk in the victory that he has given us. And the Bible tells us that in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 57,
mm-hmm.
praise God, that we are,
mm-hmm.
praise God,
victorious
through our Lord in Jesus our Christ. Lord and Savior Jesus
mm-hmm.
Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Praise God. Who gave us the victory?
Jesus Christ.
Praise God. Mm-hmm. And That victory, we're not fighting for the victory.
We have it.
We already have the victory.
Amen.
And the Bible tells us that since we have this victory, we are to be steadfast.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Unmovable.
Unmovable.
Always abound in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord.
Praise God. Praise God. We thank God for that today, because the victory lies in the Lord Jesus Christ, because he's the one that's done it all.
He's done it all.
There's nothing that we can do in of our own strength,
nope. You
know, but make a mess of what's going on. But if we depend on the Lord Jesus Christ and thank him for everything that he's done. You know, Minister Gerg, I want to show you that in scripture here that Jesus, he did it all.
Okay.
In Colossians 2 and verse 14,
mm-hmm.
and in 15, he's given us the victory.
Mm-hmm.
Praise God.
2 and 14,
yeah.
Praise the Lord, praise
Amen.
God.
Amen, praise
it
God.
It says, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us.
Praise God. See, that's what he did. He blotted out the handwriting and the ordinances that were against us and contrary to us by taking it out of the way, nailing it to his cross.
Amen.
Now, that 15th verse is what I want to tell you, that Jesus has done it all.
Yes.
And that he did this at the cross of Calvary.
Mm-hmm.
That's why the blood still has power. Praise God. I said the blood of Jesus still has power. That blood covers us from all sickness and disease, griefs and sorrows, whatever it is, the blood has power. And 15th verse 10 minutes ago,
and says, having spoiled principalities and powers.
Amen.
He made a show of them openly, triumphing them over them in it.
Praise God. He did that all by the cross of Calvary. Praise God. He and he alone gave us the victory. He gave us the power. And the enemy can't do no harm to us no matter what he's trying to do. We have power over him in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Praise God. In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
We have power. Praise God. And if we're going to look at, you remember when he gave the disciples power, praise God, in Matthew, the 10th chapter, when he sent them out, praise God, he gave them power, and he's also sent us out. He says that as the Father has sent him, so send I you.
Mm-hmm.
So he sent us out as well. So in Matthew, the 10th chapter, when he called his disciples together, praise God, in the 10th chapter, and he gave them power.
Yes.
You want to read that, Mr. Gordon?
It says, and when he had called unto his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease.
Praise God. Praise the Lord. Now, he gave them power.
Yes.
So the power wasn't of them.
Mm-hmm.
It's of God. So he gave them power. Praise God. Yeah. Now, in Luke, the 10th chapter,
mm-hmm.
in verse 19,
yep.
These 70, well, first of all, they were disciples, and then a disciple is one that follows the master of his teacher.
Amen.
Then they became apostles when he sent them out. Praise God. So in Luke 10 and verse 19,
mm-hmm.
you want to read that message?
Because behold, I give unto you power.
Amen.
To tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing, I'm going to say that again, and nothing shall by any means hurt you.
Nothing shall by any means hurt you. Now, this is what he did. He sent them out.
Mm-hmm.
They came back rejoicing, and they were saying that, Master, even the spirits
mm-hmm.
are subject unto us in your name.
Amen.
I'm telling you, that name is powerful.
That name is powerful.
The name of Jesus
That's
is
right.
powerful.
That's right.
That's why we can speak that name in any given situation, and it brings forth healing in our body.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
I mean, bring forth healing in our bodies.
That's right.
When we depend and believe what that word says.
Yeah, because it says, wherefore God also had exalted him, Jesus.
Yes.
And given him a name which is above every name.
Yes.
That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, and all things in heaven and all things in earth, and things under the earth. And every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord of Glory to Father.
Praise God. What a mighty name. Praise the Lord. That's why when we speak the name of Jesus, whatever the situation is, if you have sickness in your body, speak the name of Jesus.
Speak the name of Jesus.
And thank him for what he's done, because he's done it all at Calvary's cross.
Amen.
He took all of our sins, sicknesses, and disease, and he nailed it to his cross. And this is why we can depend on what he has done for us all.
Amen.
And when the enemy tries to come in, the Bible says that when the enemy comes in like a flood, that the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him. So what's happening is that the enemy is always trying to stop you from doing the will of God. But we give Jesus the praise.
Amen.
And the honor, because he's given us power. You know, Minister Gray,
yes.
Back there in Luke 10 and verse 19, I wanted to mention something else there, that
okay.
He gave us power.
Yes.
That word power is authority. Mm-hmm. He gave us authority over all the works of the enemy.
Yes.
Praise God. And he did that to you and to me as a child of God. We thank him for it. Praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. We thank God that we have the opportunity to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and the Savior of our lives. Praise God. And Mr. Gloria, you know, in Romans 10 and verse 9 and 10, mm-hmm. it tells us, praise God, that if we believe in our hearts, and this is where everything has to be. It starts in the heart.
Amen.
Praise God. The enemy tried to work in your mind, because the mind is the battlefield.
Mm-hmm.
But what's taking place is that your mind, you have the mind of Christ.
Right.
Praise God. And in 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 16, it tells us that we have the mind of Christ. We're not trying to get it. So we want to think the thoughts of God.
Mm-hmm.
So, Minister Gloria, would you extend an invitation to all those out there in Radio Land that need salvation? Praise God.
That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth,
amen,
the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, by faith in Jesus Christ.
Praise God, by faith in Jesus Christ. Because in Galatians 3 and verse 26, it says that for we are all children of God by faith in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Well, God bless you all out there in Radio Land. I thank God for you tuning into the broadcast, wherever you are, and keep your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ, because he's the one that has done it all. God bless you all out there. Until another broadcast. In Jesus' name.
You've been listening to the Salvation and Deliverance Outreach, brought to you by New Life Assembly of God Church, located at 774 North Apollo Boulevard in Melbourne. Their number is 321-255-6999. You also can write New Life Assembly of God Church at Post Office Box 2303, Melbourne, Florida 32902. Be with us again at the same time next week for another program, Salvation and Deliverance Radio Outreach.